The BFM Breakfast Grill, connecting you to top people and ideas. Presented by U Mobile.
Good morning, I'm Sharad Kutin, and on the Breakfast Grill this morning is Datuk Sri Mustafa Ali, Director General of the Malaysian Immigration Department. It's his first year in office, and this former Deputy Chief Commissioner, having spent 30 years of his life with the MACC, is now in charge of the Immigration Department. Datuk, I want to begin with the question of corruption, because of course it's a hot topic. The government is committed to dealing with corruption. You went into the Immigration Department knowing that there were problems there. Tell us, how deep was the rot? How far did it reach? And how entrenched is the culture of corruption in the department?
To begin with, issues of corruption. Of course, when we mention about corruption, it is everywhere. But whether or not it's something serious, or something that's, you know, still we can apprehend all these perpetrators, so-called. And, again, when I was asked to spearhead or to lead the Immigration Department, knowing it is really high risk in terms of the enforcement agency, looking into a lot of enforcement matters, we realize it is there. And the manner that we conducted in terms of how to really look into the issues of corruption, I look into three strategies, namely enforcement, prevention, and education.
Before we get into the what you plan and outline your strategies, I want to ask you about the question of how do we understand what are the limits of the Immigration Department, what is actually in charge of what it isn't? Because we think of something like border control.
Right.
There are many agencies involved in border control. When we think of perhaps undocumented workers in the city, immigration is only one of the agencies involved. And, you know, there's the police and there this and that. And so the question becomes, is the Immigration Department sometimes unfairly accused of not doing its work when, in fact, it's a failure of other agencies?
You see, when we talk as laymen, they're looking at the Immigration Department as the one who monitored passports and also the port of entry. In airport, for example, in ports, for example. But in immigration, we conducted quite a big task in looking into, for example, the visas, the permits, employees, they come to Malaysia, whether or not they're allowed to work here or otherwise, and also the expatriate. We are looking also into the issues of student coming to Malaysia. We are looking also about, you mentioned about the border control. That's one of the issue. Well, you see, when we talk about immigration, there are a lot of tasks that we conducted, but it is only right when you mentioned just now, we are being educating. When there are a lot of foreigners, for example, in KL, when we talk about KL was swarmed by these illegals, we have to really look into whether or not they are illegals or they are genuine workers to start with. And of course, secondly, when we talk about the issues of KL being, I said just now, KL being swarmed, we conducted raids, we conducted a lot of, monitoring. But looking into the task of immigration, we really collaborate with other agencies. We always mention about NBOS, we talk about Blue Ocean Strategy. But sometimes, for example, last 2 days, when we conducted raids, this is big raids in, Lubuk Pudu, we are talking about in front of Kotoraya, Tanlin Street, where it is not really looked into as if you are not in Malaysia. We are almost like in Bangladesh or in other part of the world. People always question, where are the Immigration Department? But we must understand, the premises is under the, we are talking about the Mandarin Kuala Lumpur, for example. That's why I said I must mention here, when we talk about the task, we really collaborate with other agencies to ensure all kind of tasking is being really conducted as NBOS. And more importantly, when we talk about the task that being given to immigration, we are looking into, just as I mentioned, the visas, the permits.
But so the question is, when there is failure, Is it only the fault of immigration, or is it a fault of other agencies as well? And how do we assign a proper blame, as it were, to the relevant agencies? You can imagine that popular perception in Malaysia is that police officers, when encountering an undocumented worker, is more interested in getting some money, kopi money, than he is or she is in actually dealing with the problem. So that's the public perception, at least. And so if you have a separate agency, you've got no control over them,
right,
they fail, you still get the blame.
You see, we cannot talk as an individual agency or individual party. When we talk about the illegal foreigners, for example, what we are looking into, for example, when some quarters, somebody wanted to get an employee, for example, they are employers who conducted or who asked for this employee. But whether or not the numbers as they need is really genuine, or they just simply take the numbers because they got commission. They get commission for that. And this is one of the things. You mentioned about agencies. Of course, we collaborate with other agencies. We talk about the local council. We talk about with the Human Resource Ministry, with border control. And of course, all in all, immigration under the Home Ministry. And looking into the issues of illegals, they cannot just put blame, because the blame game is not the name of the game. But more importantly is the holistic manner in looking at things. When we talk about the illegals, as I said just now, when the employers wanted to get more employee, sometimes I'm really surprised because the numbers is too big. When a company asking for numbers, 2,000, 3,000, even more, whereas the company is so, it's not that big. The number of workers, the number of employee that they need is actually too small. So where are they? This is something like a modern slavery. They just get the numbers. They bring people from overseas, for example, the employee. But eventually, they just, quote-unquote, sell it to other agency, to other organization or companies. And that's considered as committing an offense. Why? Because they sell this employee to other party.
Because we had that big issue of the death camps of Wang Kalian. It was a terrible headlines for Malaysia because it was an international story. The question I think that many Malaysians ask, we had this expose. We, on the Thai side of the story, so many people, not just arrested and charged, but also convicted, and high-ranking officials as well. But on the Malaysian side, very few. The question of political will. There's a lot of rhetoric that says the government of the day is committed to ending corruption, or at least lowering the rate of corruption. But is there political will to make people accountable?
When you mention about political will, we are not talking about politicians' will only. We are talking about the will of all party. We talk about the will of the people, of the community, of the leadership. Of course, the political will up to the high level. And when we talk about the issues in Wang Kalian, well, yeah, it's true because it happens quite closer to the Thailand border as opposed to Malaysian border. And investigation being conducted, the police conducted the investigation, but who are they? Who involved in that tragedy, so-called? So there is still investigation being carried out.
Are you satisfied with what's happened with Wang Kalian and the conclusion to that story?
When people murdered, when people get killed or people being... that cruelty happened, of course we never satisfied. We cannot condone that kind of act and the so-called tragedy. So, but of course in immigration department, we always remind our officers condone. Secondly, what we can do. Of course, the eyes of the people is greater as opposed to the numbers of the people in the immigration department and also the agencies, namely the armed forces, the police, the border control agencies, even the custom. And we need to have eyes and ears of the people to really get together in terms of combating this tragedy.
You know, one of the things that often is said, and you please correct me if I'm wrong, is that the civil servants often get the blame, mm-hmm. when it's actually the politicians, people up high, who are directing civil servants to do things against their own code of conduct. Did the Immigration Department suffer in any way from that kind of dynamic? Politicians, you know, champutangan, get intervening in decisions and not allowing the professionals, the bureaucrats, civil servants to do their job.
You see, in Malaysia, like it or not, we are under the system that where the ministry, the ministers, as the in charge of the ministry, and of course we have the Secretary General, we have the agencies under the Secretary General and all that. That is the system, but to show fingers or to point fingers to other parties saying that this is must be influenced by the politician. These are, it's not right. Because we are working hand in hand together, looking into the policy, looking into the rules and regulation. I like to mention this. Whenever we look into something, we always try to address what we said as the law reform and also the administrative reform. Law reform, by meaning to say, the policy to start with. When we talk about law reform, yeah, the cabinet minister will agree something that need to be enhanced, need to be strengthened in terms of the policy and also the law. So by having the agreement, then we are going to put forward the draft, the bill, and it goes to the parliament. So that's the process, the system. But just to say that being influenced or the public servant being detected, so-called, I think that's not right.
You recognize that there's a problem of corruption within the Immigration Department. How deep did it go? And is this a question of just one or two individuals, you know, with moral failings or with an appetite for more money? Or is it something systematic? Was there something in the structure of the department that encouraged corruption?
Yeah, again, as I said earlier, corruption is everywhere. But when we talk about seriousness, whether it's rampant in the organization, immigration, I must say it's really under control. Because we talk about...
Was it under control before you came to lead the Immigration Department, or as a consequence of your 1 year in the seat?
People will take that as the perception. Because those days, I remember when I joined, or I was asked to lead the immigration, at that particular time, 27 officers of the Immigration Department, officers being arrested by the police for involvement in that kind of, activities. And when I joined, take the lead at the helm of the Immigration Department, we tried our level best, of course, to educate, to prevent in terms of system procedure, but more importantly, when the enforcement part, I took seriously on the punitive action by saying that, we have black sheeps. Even last week, I asked my officer to arrest two of my officers. Personally, I asked them to arrest because their involvement, but of course the investigation being carried out. But when people said, why as the leader of the organization, why not you just educate them rather than you, because as I mentioned earlier, right? I said education first thing to do. But when persuasion fails, then force must come into play, meaning to say we educate people, we put integrity in their mind as the noble values, as the utmost important, but we need to take action, we take action.
I'm speaking to Dato' Sri Mustafa Ali, Director General of the Malaysian Immigration Department. Next up, we look at the future of the department. Stay tuned, BFM 89.9.
You are listening to the BFM Breakfast Grill, brought to you by U-Mobile.
Good morning. If you just joined us, my guest today is Datuk Sri Mustafa Ali, Director General of the Malaysian Immigration Department. My name is Sharad Kutin. I want to begin with the passport crisis. There weren't enough passports. And I think for a lot of Malaysians, perhaps who don't even really care about the corruption story, is there in the background for them. They were just annoyed. They couldn't get their passports. They wanted to go on a holiday. What was happening there? What is that a symptom of? Was it a lack of planning or is it some other problem?
It is history, actually. Again, when I was asked to lead the Immigration Department in 1st of August last year, you know what happened? In May, the vendor of the passport was changed. And that again boils into the supply of the passports. And after that, because of the shortage of the documents, the passports, that's why the issues of shortages and people couldn't get passport on time happened. And a long, very long queues happened in that at that particular time.
Have you sacked the vendor?
I called both of the vendors. I really reprimand both of them. I put forward a very harsh statement saying that I'm going to charge them if they don't comply. You see, we need passport, at least 90,000 passport per week for throughout the nation. But what they did, they can only supply 20,000 passports in two batches. That's why on my second day as a DG or Director General of Immigration, I called both of them. I said, I whacked them. Sorry to say that words, because we mean business. We don't want government officers, government agencies get the blushing of the people. Whereas the vendors being given the contract is not performing, doesn't comply with the requirement. That's why I said, but within 2 weeks, they really put forward in terms of supply. And we solved that issue. The only thing, the perception at that particular time, yeah, it's very hard. And I really pity to my officer because they got being scolded by the people not knowing the issues is with vendors. Of course, they don't care whether or vendors, this is the government of the day, need to issue passport. That's why I said the public service system is the most important in my mind. And of course, I said earlier, talk about punitive action. Again, I said punitive action against the vendors. I said they are going to be charged or take action, and they can be penalized 10,000 ringgit per day for not complying with the concession of the passport.
What about the question of machines versus people? You know, the more you automate a system, the less likely the chance of it being used either for corrupt purposes or to hide in inefficiencies. To what extent are you driving that push towards more automation of systems?
I like that. I really intuit. Talk about the automation. We talk about less people intervention, human intervention. Because when we talk about the system in ICT, for example, this is something we talk about the accuracy, we talk about speed. Yesterday, I just go around at KLIA when we talk about counters of the officer manning the counters as opposed to the auto gate. You see, in auto gate, they just flash the passport, they put their thumbprint as biometric system. In 8 seconds or less, they can just go to the next process. But at the counters, because it is manual, so it takes about 45 seconds, for example, or more, depends on the peculiarity of the people. That's why I look into the automation. I think this is the name of the game in future. When we talk about the TN50, for example, the transformation process, automation is a must.
What are the low-hanging fruit for the department, looking ahead in your own career and your leadership of it? What will be the easy things to resolve for the department and that Malaysians can look forward to?
Nothing actually is easy. But take it one at a time or simultaneously, all kind of aspect, a component, because we are talking about, as I said, the public service delivery system. People's expectation is far greater than we can deliver sometime. So what we can
do... Isn't the government giving you enough resources? You're not able to recruit people, quality people to the service. What is it that is the limitation for you?
Some are limitation, of course, when we talk about a number of officers, but what is the right number? As I said, yesterday I was in the airport. I go on my own, I just go and visit all the counters. There are certain counters cannot open because some of the officers is not there. Why? Because we don't have enough officers. Ideally, at one as a group of officers that manning the KLIA, we are not talking as KLIA 2, as yet, only KLIA. We need 180 officers manning the counters. Just imagine, yesterday I just got about 98 officers manning the counters, and that is quite a long queue. So this morning I called them. I called the DG in charge of management and with human resource director. I told I cannot condone this. I need to have more officers. So we tried to do redeployment. But of course, being redeployment, we are shortage. We are facing a shortage in another components of the organization. But since you know coming to the SEA Games coming in very near future, so we need to get things smooth running. So that's one, of course.
Is it a question of budget allocation? You're not being given the budget you need. Is that where the constraint is?
Budget, of course, when we talk about money, but we talk about resources, human resource, that's also, of course, you know, in relation to budget. We discuss, in fact, the Honorable Minister, Deputy Prime Minister, and also the Home Minister, look into this seriously.
You mean like wages and salaries and incentives, is it to attract good people into the service?
Well, that's also one of the things. Of course, what is enough, another element. But more importantly, I said, we need to have a sufficient right sizing kind of officers in airport. Because we do have all kind of initiative that being introduced, and we need officers.
What about the more difficult tasks? What do you think is something that you're facing that you think is going to be really hard to resolve?
To fulfill the expectation and the need of the people. That's the most important.
But we're just too demanding, are we?
Yeah, because that's why in my capacity now, I told my officer, when people wanted something today, we must make things happen yesterday. That's why we need to look at ourselves and the need of the customer, the clients. So what they need? Of course, they wanted something very in a speedy manner. So we need to get the advancement of system. We cannot use the ICT, for example, in the old era. So we need to expedite because the number of passengers, for example, in airport, the number of passengers increase, the number of flights are coming increases. When that happen, one of course the system and also the counters also need to be. We have to get ready to increase the counters too. And we are not working alone, as I said earlier in our discussion. We discuss with the airport authority. We also discuss with the airline operators committee. Because when the flight coming at almost at the same time, almost, yeah, 4 minutes or 5 minutes, the 777, the 380, for example, so the numbers of the passengers crowding the area of the immigration counters is tremendous. That's why I said the task is great and the expectation is greater now. And the numbers, of course, becoming bigger and bigger. So we need to address everything.
Thank you very much for joining us this morning. I've been speaking to Dato' Sri Mustafa Ali, Director General of the Malaysian Immigration Department. I'm Sharad Kutin, and this has been The Breakfast Grill on BFM 89.9, The Business Station.
That episode of BFM Breakfast Grill was brought to you by U-Mobile, where data hearts you.